What you need to do tonight, in relationship to our discussion and study, is to insert yourself into the scene. And I'll best describe it as I can for you tonight. It's taken from the 5th chapter of Revelation. John is visiting the throne scene. The throne scene, you see, is composed of a number of creatures. In fact, the 11th verse of chapter 5 says that in addition to the living creatures and the elders, there was a number of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Now, for some reason, the Lord chose not to use the number 1,000,000. You don't find that in the Bible at all. You can go to the Old Testament, it's not there. You go to the New Testament, it's not there. It's not here in the book of Revelation. Thousands of thousands. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Before we go any further, let me remind you of the song that you just sang, Worthy Art Thou by Tillet S. Tedley. Brother Tedley was a member of the church and a very fine songwriter. And that's evidenced in this song, Worthy Art Thou. It is in response to the Apostle John's testimony in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, where the angel cries out with a strong voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll? And John wept greatly when no one was found worthy. But one of the elders identifies the Lion of Judah, the root of David, the slain Lamb of God, worthy to open the scroll. And of course, that becomes Jesus our Lord. At that moment, according to the record, the chorus of angels, whose number was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, sang with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Someday, you and I will be in the midst of that crowd that surrounds that throne. We too will join in with the many voices of angels and sing the new song, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, or as the Greek language suggests there, praise. And John goes on and says, And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them I heard saying, Blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. And so Christ is established here as the Lion of Judah and the Root of David, and the slain Lamb of God, worthy to open the seal. Now, I believe that he's worthy of opening the seal because of four statements that John makes in this 5th chapter. If you'll read with me from the 5th verse on, we'll be able to see the four causes that make Christ Jesus worthy to open the scroll. And one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked and beheld, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That, of course, would be God himself. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." And he opened the scroll, "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and princes and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then the 11th and 12th verses, which I read to you earlier in our opening comments. Now there are four causes that allows Christ as the slain Lamb of God to open the scroll. First of all, because of who he is. Secondly, because of where he is. Thirdly, because of what he has done and what he is doing now. And four, because of what he has. Now let's see if those cannot be substantiated from the text itself, beginning with verse 5. We said, first of all, that Christ is worthy because of who he is. He most assuredly, above all things, is the Son of God. That was announced at the Transfiguration recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 17. The scripture reads, "And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." And so we have this testimony from God the Father, from the voice in the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And the pronouncement was, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was also announced at his birth. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins." He is our Savior. That's why he qualifies. And that's why he's worthy of opening the scroll. Jesus himself admitted the same. And this, of course, got him in trouble with the Jewish hierarchy and eventually caused his death on the cross. In John 3 and verse 1, John said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Indeed, he is the Savior of mankind." And then in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we find the apostles proclaiming the same message. It reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He is our Savior. And because he is our Savior, and because he is our, and because he is the Son of God, he is worthy of opening the scroll. But he is also the Lion of Judah. David Roper, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, cites Genesis chapter 49, where Jacob blesses his sons, and one of them, Judah, was blessed as a lion of God, and all of his descendants, including Jesus, who was of the tribe of Judah, could be classified as the lion of God. He qualifies also because he was the root of David. This reminds us of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, where it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." But he was the root of David. Also, he is our sacrificial lamb. He gave his life that we might live. And Monty did a beautiful job describing that this morning. He is our sacrificial lamb, and thus he's worthy to open the scroll. So Christ is worthy because of who he is. But secondly, Christ is worthy because of where he is. As the sacrificial lamb, he stood in the midst of the throne. The Greek phrase here in Revelation chapter 5 emphasizes the nearness of the lamb to the one on the throne. He is as near to the one on the throne as any being in the throne scene. Every created being falls down to worship him. Revelation 5 and verse 13 says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, fell down and worshipped him." He has been highly exalted because of his position before the throne. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Paul wrote to the church and said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." And so he receives the glory because of where he is. And because of where he qualifies. He is worthy to open the scroll. Thirdly, Christ is worthy because of what he does. He is redeeming us before the Father with his own blood. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the writer said, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." In our text from Revelation chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10, John says, "He has made us priests and kings to our God." In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 in the New Testament, "He makes of us a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Peter writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Royalty. Holy. Are descriptors that suggest to us Christ is worthy because of what he's doing within our lives. Setting us apart. Establishing righteousness and truthfulness and faithfulness in our lives. And helping us to overcome sin by redeeming us. And providing us with the cleansing power of his blood. Christ is worthy because of what he does. But Christ is also worthy because of what he has. He has seven qualities mentioned in verse 12. Four of them I refer to as divine attributes, and three of them are devotional attitudes. I want us to look briefly at all seven of those in the concluding part of our lesson tonight. Notice what he says in verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing or praise. Power. We've known no power greater than the power of the resurrection. Jesus had power beyond comprehension. He had power over the demonic world and the physical world. He could cast out demons and he could stop the storms on the Sea of Galilee. He could multiply the bread at a picnic. He could create a couple of tubs of wine for a wedding feast. He could heal a man that was crippled since birth. He could cause a blind man to see whose eyes had dimmed. Jesus had power to do what he wanted to do. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. But secondly, Jesus was a person of great riches. Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Someone asked, well, was he a millionaire? I'd have to confess to say that he was more than a millionaire. Was he a billionaire? I must confess to say that he was more than a billionaire. He possessed riches beyond man's understanding. Riches that represent more than just money, but riches that were eternal in nature. The story of his life, the story of his sacrifice, the gospel message, as Monty eloquently did so in relating that message to us this morning. Christ was worthy because of what he has. Power, riches, and then thirdly, wisdom. In Ephesians 1 and verse 8, he said, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Christ offers us a share of his wisdom. The glory of his attributes. You remember, at the age of 12, his parents missed him and found him not with the traveling group. Went back to Jerusalem and found him in the temple conversing with the scribes and Pharisees and the priests, discussing with them the profound utterances and principles and lessons of the Old Testament. They were astonished at his knowledge and his wisdom. Yes, Jesus was worthy because of what he has, wisdom of God. And then fourthly, Jesus was worthy because of his might. Jesus' countrymen questioned the source of his might. In Matthew 13, verse 54, Matthew records, and when he was come into his own country, that would be Galilee, he taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished. We would have been also, had we been there and had observed the ongoings of the conversation. And the people said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Yes, Jesus was worthy because of his might. But he was also worthy because of his honor. He was crowned with glory and honor. According to Hebrews 2 and verse 9, the writer said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." He occupied the position of honor not because he requested it, but because he served as a servant. He served as a slave. And consequently, he tasted death for every man. And that brought him honor and glory. And certified him, qualified him, made him worthy to serve as the one to open the scroll. And the last two we'll take together, glory and praise. It's interesting, as you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, how many times that expression, that phrase, is used in the first chapter of the Ephesian letter. I'm sure it was not because of coincidence, but because of purpose, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, writes to the Ephesian church. And he says to them in regards to Jesus that it was to the praise of his glory. It appears three times in this chapter. In the sixth verse, Paul said, "To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." Verse 12, "That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." And verse 14, "Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory." To be mentioned three times must surely indicate some importance. Not something general or routine or normal, but something of special attention, special concern, special interest, to the praise of his glory. Suggest to us tonight that Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. As I read this story and contemplate the imagery that it forces me to have, would I have responded, would you have responded as John did, with great tears, the Bible says, because no one could be found worthy to open the scroll until one of the elders observed, "The slain Lamb of God standing before the throne, in the midst of the attendees at the throne, this slain Lamb who was the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, who was our Redeemer, our Savior, who served to glorify and praise God Almighty, and to be honored as his Son, would qualify and would be worthy of opening the scroll." The joy enters John's heart, no doubt, as he sees the slain Lamb of God opening the scroll, and the book of Revelation begins to unfold, and John begins to write. And so on Wednesday evenings, we're having a delight looking at the imagery that's found in the book of Revelation and talking about its possible meaning and interpretation. I challenge the men of the congregation to be a part of that class as we seek to learn the meaning of the great secrets that are found in the book of Revelation that really are not secrets, just hidden information, hidden truth to those who are enemies of the gospel, but to those who are faithful and loyal, they'll come away learning and knowing much about the meaning of victory in Christ Jesus in this closing book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And so, we sing, "Worthy art thou, worthy art thou, Christ Jesus our Lord, the slain Lamb of God, revealing to us the victory of Jesus against Satan, whom the Revelation letter identifies as the bad one." And I'm making a play on words. Tonight, if there's a possibility of getting closer to God, we want to be there for it. We want to be a part of that. And that's possible through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is indeed subject to opening the scroll for us and revealing for us the truth of God Almighty. May we so conduct ourselves and so live as to be part of that victory celebration around the throne as described in Revelation chapter 5. And once again, the angels will sing, the hallelujah song, the new song, the song of conquest and victory. If we can help you spiritually in any way, we wish to do that right now as we stand and as we sing.